Welcome to this weekend's In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley. As a believer in Jesus, the Bible says you are no longer who you were, so your life should reflect this change. Today's lesson from the book of Colossians helps you understand more about the new you.
As a result of having been born again, the Bible says that our old life, that is what we were before we were saved, was replaced. It wasn't improved on. It wasn't patched up. It wasn't renewed. It was replaced. That old sinful nature that was once yours dictated, dominated, ruled, governed your life, the Bible says was crucified with Christ, buried with Him, and then we rose to walk in newness of life, the Bible says, because the old you has been replaced by the new you, and you're a new person in Christ. Therefore, there is the right and the anticipation and the expectation for our lifestyle to be different. You'll recall that Paul couched these terms about what we were versus what we are in the symbolism of clothing. And I want you to go back, if you will, in chapter 3 to verse 5. And having reminded us that we were crucified with Him, buried with Him, risen with Him, seated with Him, hidden with Him, coming back again with Him, he says in verse 5, therefore, he says, consider the members of your body dead, that is, put to death, the following attitudes or actions: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. He says all these things are the cause of the wrath of God to come. Then he says in verse 7, and in them you once walked, not now, but it's what you used to do. This is your previous life. This is the kind of life you used to live. He says in verse 8, but now you also put them aside. That is, strip yourself of all of these things, such as anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. He says, since you laid aside what you used to be, that is, when you were saved, the person you were before you were saved, God says He killed it. He didn't try to improve it. He killed it. He says He crucified it. Therefore, he says, now that you've been renewed according to this new knowledge. So he says in these first verses, put aside, put off, lay aside, get rid of. That is, these things, these garments no longer fit you. That is, malice towards someone and anger and hostility and bitterness and resentment. He says these things no longer fit you because you're a new person. Beginning in verse 12, he talks about the kind of garments you and I ought to be wearing as a result of having become a new person. Listen, to the believer, sinning isn't what comes naturally. You're pricked in your heart when you do. What comes naturally in the life of the believer is what? Being compassionate and loving and kind and gentle and forbearing or bearing up under others and being forgiving toward them and loving them. That's what comes natural. Remember who you are? Beloved of God, separated unto God, chosen by Him. You have a relationship of being a son and a daughter to God. You are a brother to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says we're joint heirs with Him. He has become our life. So now that He is our life, living within us, what is natural to be expressed through us but the qualities of this person who lives within us, who is Christ? So what comes natural? Kindness, gentleness, bearing, forgiving, loving, humility, all of this is natural for the believer. So, you know, you ask the average person, well, tell me about what is a Christian? Well, a Christian is a person who goes to church and reads the Bible and prays and gives their money and talks about God. Did you know that he didn't mention any of that in here? You can do all those things and not be a Christian. But listen to this, a heart of compassion, gentleness, and kindness, and humility, and bearing up under difficult circumstances in each other, and loving. We're not finished, but that's where we are at this point. And he says, genuine love. That's what Christ expresses through us. So let me say this to you. If you never hear me say another thing, and you could never learn another truth, the one truth that I would want you to learn above all the other truths you've ever heard me try to explain is this one. That when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christ became your very life. And the Christian life isn't something that I put on, patch up, and try to renew. It is a gift. It is Christ's gift to me, living in my spirit, living through me His life. And what is His life? But compassion and love and gentleness and kindness and humility and all. Listen, when these things are true of my life, I'm not going to have to worry about going to church and giving my money and reading the Bible and praying. When you and I learn to relate to each other on that scale, he says, now that you're a new person, these are the new garments. Then I want you to notice something very interesting and to me is so exciting when I read this. He says, verse 14, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So what we've been talking about are our garments, spiritual garments we wear now that we're a new person. Then there's something else I want you to see. These are our new garments. Now, having become a new person, here's our new guidance. Before, what guided you as a believer? What felt good? What the world said? What was popular? What reason said? What you could rationalize? That's the way you figured things out. He says, now that you're a new person, we have a whole new set of standards. We have a new set of guidance. Now, look at this, if you will. Our new guidance. Verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. What is he saying? It isn't just human reasoning. It isn't what satisfies those inner lust. But rather, he says, now you have someone seated on the inside of you who is the umpire. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us peace as like an umpire, like a referee on the inside of us to tell us when we are making the right or the wrong decision. Now, you know, when you're walking in the Spirit and you're being obedient to God, there is a wonderful sense of peace that inhabits and dwells and covers the heart of a believer. There's just something wonderful and exciting about being, we say, at peace with God and with yourself. We're at peace with God and ourselves when we are being obedient to Him. And believers should be guided by the peace that passes, the Bible says, all human understanding. Now, why did he put it that way? When he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will surround you, garrison your heart about. Because God knows that we face certain situations and circumstances. It's not easy to know the mind of God about it. What has he done? Because we've become a new person, now we have Christ living on the inside of us. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid to go ahead and do what peace in your heart tells you to do. And being a new person in Christ, we don't make decisions the way we used to make them. We make them now by this inner, abiding, quiet stillness. Now, let me say two things at this point. Number one, peace does not mean that you'll have all the answers. You'll just know certain times, I must do that to obey God, when you don't have any earthly idea what the consequences are going to be. But you have a peace about doing it. Secondly, when we talk about having peace, that does not mean that it'll always be easy. Some things that is the will of God will be very difficult. But deep down inside of you, there's this overwhelming sense of indescribable peace, this canopy of God's stillness and quietness and assurance that just covers you. And you think, no matter what I go through, somehow I know it's going to be right. There is nothing gnawing away. And everything human reason may confront you with says one thing. But when you get on your knees and it's just you and God, you have this overwhelming sense of quietness. I think, you know, in my own life, how many times I would get on my knees and ask God about something and the Lord would give me a sense of direction. And then maybe a little later I'd be thinking about it. And I could just reason myself out of that thing just as clear. I mean, I had enough evidence that would even impress God, I thought. I'd get back on my knees, and as soon as I get on my knees and ask the Lord's direction, totally different story. In my reasoning, I can make it work. On my knees, no peace. That is God's protection. Don't ever ignore that gnawing, that unsettled attitude, feeling in your heart. God may be trying to protect you from doing something He doesn't want you to do. Listen, remember this. It's His way of saying, don't do it. And then when you have the peace of God, what happens? I mean, everything around you may look wrong, but deep down inside, you know that God is going to see you through it. Now, not only in our new guidance do we have the peace that lets us know when we are doing the right thing, but here's a whole new set of principles. Look at what he says, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the Word of God richly indwell you. My goal every single Sunday, every time I stand in this place, my goal ultimately is this, that you would be enriched in your heart in the Word of God. Do you realize how wealthy you already are in the things of God, rich in the truths of God, rich in the principles of God? Now, I know, and I'm not expecting, and I know God isn't expecting, so I'm not going to give you some preacher talk at this point. Let's just get down to where we're living. I know that every man and many women, you have to work 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and I'm not saying that God expects you to spend as equal as much time in the Word of God as you do making a living. I don't believe God expects that. But I can tell you what He does expect. He does expect you as a new person to enrich your life. Enrich your life with the principles by which God can make you the person He wants you to be. You are not enriching your life simply by listening. You only enrich your life when you take what you hear and accept it as the Word of God and apply it to your heart and begin to live it out. Then it is yours. It becomes yours. It becomes yours when you make application. It is only when you make application that you really know whether it's true or not. You may accept a thing as true because I said, God wants you to accept it as true, not only because it is spoken from this place from the Word of God. He wants you to know its truth primarily because you have worked it into your life. You know that it works because you have put it to the test. It's not yours until you do. You're not rich until you do. He says we're to study the Scriptures. We're to meditate upon them. We're to read them. We're to absorb them. There's not a one of us who does not have time to open this book in a 24-hour period and read two chapters of the Word of God and say, Lord, I want you to speak to my heart. Just say something in this that I need to apply to my life. There's not a single one of us who doesn't have time to do that. Amen? Amen. Listen, you're a brand new person. God has the right, and all of us have a right to expect of each other a new kind of life because we're a brand new person. Don't fill your mind with garbage. Fill it with the truths of the Word of God. He says, be rich in the things of God. He says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom. Because when you begin to absorb the Word of God, God gives you wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You see, the reason many people don't share their faith and don't serve God is because, I can tell you know what they say. Well, you know, I just don't know enough of the Scripture. Well, pray tell me, when are you going to start learning? Amen. I mean, you've already reached 40, 50, 60, 70 years of age. You say, well, you know, I just don't know enough of God's Word. Then what in the world have you been doing all of your life? Enriching yourself with money? You cannot take one single copper penny of it with you. Listen, it's time to get serious. He says, get rich in the Word of God. Then you'll be wise. And you'll be able to teach, instruct, admonish, warn other people. Listen, if I did not study the Word of God, I could not come Sunday after Sunday and with conviction, I mean bold conviction, say to you unquestionably, here's what God says, I know this is true. You know why you won't teach anybody else? Because you don't know that. You could. Now, many of you do, but most of you don't. You know why? Because you're not sure what God's Word says. Well, then start learning. Listen, if you would just take notes week after week, and the only thing you learn is one single principle week after week, 52 times, 104 times a year, friend, God would begin to make you wise in His ways. Now, all this idea about, well, you know, I just don't know the Word. It is your own fault you do not know the Word. And the command of Scripture is, get rich in the things of God. What that means, you have to cut off the television. Lay aside the newspaper, the magazines. Doesn't mean you shouldn't watch or shouldn't read anything else but the Bible. But it means your priorities get straightened out. Now listen, you know this, and so my responsibility is to remind you of it. You and I both know. You say, but now when I open the Bible, I don't understand it. Do you know how you understand the Bible? You read it. You can take commentaries, notes, all you want to. You understand the Scripture by reading it. And remember that you have indwelling you now as this new person, the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, who's going to teach you the truth. Listen, I read some things I have to read, pray over, wait, beg, plead. Lord, what does that mean? And the reason God didn't make it very simple is because we just read it one time, so I read that. But what happens? It's like your golf game, brother. No matter how many times you play, you keep going back because you can't ever get it just right. No matter how many times you get in this book in the same verse, there's something else. Listen, the reason we're to be rich in the Word of God is because this book is the richest. Listen, this is the unfolding of the mind of God put in print. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says it'll affect the way you sing. Look at this. He says, when you get rich in the Word, he says, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Now, sometime I'm up in my study and I get into something and I don't mind telling you that nothing I have ever preached has so blessed me and changed my life as this book of Colossians. There are times when I'm studying and I just break out singing. Didn't make any difference what it is, because my heart within me will not let me be quiet. When I think about what Jesus Christ has done in my life and what He's in the process of doing and what He can do to anybody, anywhere on the face of this globe, it'll affect your singing. Now, I'm going to tell you why it'll affect your singing. The richer you are in the Word of God, the better you're going to sing the gospel. Because what is happening, there's a difference in reading the words off of a book than it is expressing the joy out of your heart of the conviction of what you're singing. A mighty fortress is our God. Hallelujah and amen. Because that is true. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. These are all expressions of, listen, they're not just songs. They're not just words. This is theology. This is truth. And the richer you are and the more you understand, the more you're going to sing it with a sense of overwhelming joy and confidence. Now, listen to this last thing he says. He says, not only that, but then, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Now, he says, we have a whole new set of guidance here. The peace of Christ guiding us in our decisions. The Word of Christ, the principles of the Word of God, enriching us as new persons, guiding our life. And then, the name of Jesus. Every single one of us who calls ourselves a Christian identifies ourselves with the person of Christ. So that is, the Bible says, you and I are ambassadors. We are representatives of Jesus. So when you tell somebody that you are a Christian, they have a legitimate right to expect to see in your conduct and mine those characteristics that are compatible with, that are consistent with the person of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus represents everything that He is. There is authority in that name. There is power in that name. There is influence in that name. And when you tell somebody, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, what you've said to them is this: I have identified myself with Him. I represent Him.
Thank you for listening to The New You. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.